And when I got...
I pressed the wrong button.
Okay.
More time. Can you tell me how you're trying to influence the governor? What you're trying to do to get him to do things for anti-fracking?
When I first started, I just wrote a letter saying that I would like to have a chance to see the governor. And after, I can't remember if it was after that first letter, I don't think it was, I was offered the chance to see somebody in his lower staff, and I thought, I don't want to see anybody else, I just want to see the governor. But the secretary in that office said, no, you've got to go through seeing some of his lower staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he won't pay any attention to you. Mm-hmm. Of course, he hasn't paid any attention to me anyway. But we went in and saw Tom Congdon. And at that time, I talked with several people that I knew pretty well. And they made suggestions as to who I should try to get to go. And almost everybody that I could think of that I asked if they would like to see this person was ready, willing, and able. And we went over and visited with him. We also had another chance to talk with him via conference call. But nothing came of it. Mm-hmm. And
what did you talk about in this meeting? What do you talk about in a meeting like this?
We point out the fact that here are all these people, and they're all from different walks of life. There was Larry Bennett from the brewery, and a lawyer, and a doctor, and you know, all sorts of different, and everybody thought it was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And we just explain why we think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And but it was like we were talking to a very polite statue who could move his lips but not do too much else. So I've just continued writing letters, and right now they haven't said no, he won't visit, he won't, but your request is still under review. Every time I call or write, and I do it on, you know, at least every 2 or 3 weeks, I send in another letter. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's still under review. Mm-hmm. And now I've gotten to a place where it's actually the invitations office that all of these requests go through. It's not just somebody's secretary. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at least I'm in the right place to send the message that hopefully he sees the emails that I send him. And in addition to that, we got some people who are a little bit more widespread. A couple of scientists, professors at Cornell, mm-hmm. They're willing to come with us. The mayor of Binghamton is willing to come with us. And he's very outspoken, very outspoken. And an economist. And maybe about 7 or 8, 9 or 10 people who are really working hard at this. Mm-hmm. If I was able to get a meeting with the governor, they would be right there standing next to me. And I would say, here they are, let them speak. I've done my part. Because I'm not very good at talking.
But you're organizing.
I'm better at organizing. Mm-hmm. So that's been my contribution. And I continue to go to a lot of these fracking meetings. Mm-hmm. There's a general coalition that has a monthly meeting. Was that it last night? Mm-hmm. of town board meetings, if they're essential, mm-hmm. go to them. And town board meetings from other towns. I've been up to Rosemoon, I've been to Otego, I've been to quite a number of places. Mm-hmm. You know, just to stand with people and show your support.
Mm-hmm. You've been a part of this community for a number of years. Have you seen the community change over the years?
Well, Main Street has definitely changed.
How so?
Definitely changed. When we first came, two hardware stores, a sort of a novel, not a novelty store, but they sold this and that, the newspaper, magazines, etc. Mm-hmm. That's gone. There was an A&P on that in there. There was a men's clothing store. There was a lot of different stores that are all gone. And it's not, I think it's sort of the trend in many, many villages. And I didn't even think about this, but somebody wrote a letter and said, when they were talking about the pipeline, that's another thing that's sort of correlating with fracking, the pipeline. You know anything about the pipeline?
I've heard a little bit in town about it.
The Constitution Pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been to some of those meetings. Mm-hmm. I've learned how to get up and speak. If I have it in front of me, I can say it by reading it off. But I'm not good at thinking in ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they said the mayor of Oneonta said that the Constitution Pipeline would bring new jobs and et cetera, et cetera. And that before I-88 came, Oneonta was nothing economically. And then somebody replied and said, I-88 came and sucked all the life out of all the little villages along its route. And that was what happened to Root when the Thruway came,
mm-hmm.
and all of the little villages along Route 20,
mm-hmm.
gone economically, because people can go from here to here, two big places, nothing in between.
Mm-hmm.
There's no life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see her point. All these little villages have just deteriorated as far as commerce and economic development goes. So that the Constitution Pipeline will, one, even though they deny it, will open up the area for fracking, because there's a pipeline to take the fracking and deliver it someplace else. It's going to generate the why we're doing this. And it's going to industrialize a rural county.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be the same. It won't be the same.
So is the fear with the pipeline and fracking, what is the fear? What is the worry that comes with having that industry here?
There's a lot of health problems that it comes. I think one of the biggest ones you worry about is your water. Your big water source, underground water source becomes contaminated. That's it. You can't clean that out. Not in your lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and maybe never.
Mm-hmm.
It also uses a tremendous amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
That has to come from someplace. It brings in a lot of people to do the jobs. They claim there's a lot of jobs to be had, but those are the kind of jobs that they bring in their own people because they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the economic benefit is not all that great. But with the influx of so many people, it disturbs the economy of a village or a town, because where are those people going to stay? They're going to stay in places which would ordinarily be used by other people who can't pay as much for the rent as people who are making more, so they don't have a place to stay. It causes more problems with crime. And it fragments in a rural community with wells here. It fragments the land and makes it really bad for wildlife, birds. I don't see how you can do very good farming if your field has a well here and a well there and a well there and all these roads in between. It just fragments the land. And it pollutes the air. There's just a million ways it affects the whole community and the whole county and the whole state. It cuts, if it's a tourist-based economy, like Cooperstown definitely is, who's going to want to come and look at oil wells or be slowed up in traffic when it takes 5 minutes to go from here to there and it might take an hour to do the same amount because there's so much truck traffic? Mm-hmm. There's a myriad of ways it affects people, mm-hmm. or can affect people.
I think I've noticed an interesting thing about Cooperstown is the big hospital, is Bassett. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about Bassett in the community, or how Bassett interacts with the community? And if you think it's important that Bassett's here.
Well, Bassett is certainly the largest employer, and for that reason it's important to the community. It's definitely the largest employer. Mm-hmm. It also is a source of the health benefits for people around. I think you can get pretty top-notch medical advice and care, mm-hmm. through Bassett Hospital.
Did you work as a nurse at Bassett?
Only briefly. Mm-hmm. I worked for a while. Mm-hmm. After my children had gone to school. Mm. I worked more for the Red Cross. Huh. I was a venipunctured. I took blood. I drew blood and supervised people giving a pint of blood. And I would go around to different communities to do that.
So like a mobile blood bank?
Yeah, yes, a mobile. They would bring their truck and their staff, and then they would count on some Red Cross nurses who lived in the county to supplement their staff.
Okay.
And I would go as far south as Walton. Mm-hmm. Do you know where Walton is?
I think so.
It's down in the Catskills.
Oh, okay.
And as far north as Utica. Mm-hmm. As far east as Stamford. Mm. Far west as Morris. Probably not much farther west than Otsego County. Mm.
And you would just organize there? The people coming
no,
in?
No, no. They would have their staff. They would have their technicians. They would have their whole unit come. Mm-hmm. We would say they were coming to Cooperstown. Mm-hmm. It would quite often be at the Catholic Church, their big room there. And they would hold a blood mobile for however many hours it took. Mm-hmm. Maybe it would be, well, we would have to be there earlier. The people would come in and we'd have to stay later to clean up. Mm-hmm. But we would help with setting it up. We would help with the whole line of how you're entered, how your history is taken, how your blood is tested to see if you've got enough red cells to for you to be safely to give away some of your own blood. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're not sick, take your temperature, you know, all and do a short health history. Mm-hmm. All of those things we would be participating in, not necessarily doing all of them every time. Mm-hmm. And then, mostly, we would be working in the unit. We would usually have a 3-bed unit that we would be responsible for with one aide for actually taking the blood from the individual, making sure that they were comfortable, that they didn't have any kind of reaction, that they felt good before they left the unit. Mm-hmm. And then somebody had to watch and make sure that they had something to eat and drink before they went home and that everything was fine. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that we were doing it all.
No,
they brought
their people in.
They brought their people. We were just augmenting their staff. Mm-hmm. And now they don't even have nurses doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now what do they do? They bring everyone in?
Bring in people from the street. Just kidding. They don't require the same level of education to draw blood anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the training's a little different now.
From my point of view, not as very good. Not as good.
Okay.
But.
And your husband worked at Bassett.
Yes, he did.
And he was an anesthesiologist,
he
is
was.
That correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did Bassett do anything to get their families connected to one another, or did that kind of happen naturally?
Well, when we first came, there weren't that many doctors.
Really?
Yeah. He was the only doctor in the anesthesia department for the whole time he was there.
Wow.
With the exception of two doctors who came separate times, who stayed varying lengths of time, but not too long. But he was mostly, during that 18 years that he worked at Bassett, the only physician. Now, he had a nurse anesthetist, but he legally was supposed to be supervising them and making sure that everything that they did was right. And some of them were excellent, so that, you know, they were didn't need all that much help, but he was legally responsible for them and their actions.
Okay.
So he was basically on call all the time.
Wow. Did that interrupt home life at all?
You got used to a certain schedule. He would be up and out before 7 a.m. So getting the kids off to school was always my job. Mm-hmm. He would sometimes, but not often, walk home and have lunch. Most of the time he spent in the hospital. He might come home for a part of, you know, a little bit later in the afternoon, but he always went back and made rounds and saw all of the patients that he was going to see the next day.
Mm. This is very labor intensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and then he quite often was called in the middle of the night or in the evening if there was a case that needed more supervision or help, and the nurse on call wasn't able to handle it totally.
You've mentioned during this interview and previously a passion for gardening. Can you talk a little bit about gardening and your passion for it?
I learned gardening when I first lived with my uncle and aunt in the Adirondacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy gardening. So when I had the space to do it myself, I did. Mm-hmm. And I decided to plant some blueberries. I have a good blueberry. I have about 24 bushes that some of them produce more than others. It's the biggest job is in the spring when I have to prune them. And I'm pretty fastidious about the way I prune them. Sometimes it takes me at least an hour or more to do one bush. 24, that's quite a lot of bushes. Quite a lot of time, I mean. My biggest struggle now is to keep not the birds, but the squirrels out of it. I bought a big net, a new net last year, pretty heavy, heavy-duty net that was hard to get on. It was so heavy. And I thought, I'm going to be able to relax, and we won't have any birds. We'll be able to just pick berries. When I took that netting down, there was at least 2 dozen holes in it that had been chewed by the squirrels. Wow. And they had popped themselves in and eaten a lot of the berries. So I have to figure out something else.
What other things do you grow in your garden besides blueberries?
Oh, that's a separate plot. That wasn't even part of the garden that you could see.
Oh, okay.
I grow a lot of squash because that keeps well and I enjoy it. I like to grow beets and broccoli. I like to grow some of those cold weather things that will last. I'm still picking broccoli and kale. Is another cold weather plant that I can sometimes even take some in the winter, uncover it, and there will be a leaf or two I can just cut off and saute a little bit, and it's very good. And last year, the person who was helping me built a trellis for pole beans. It was like a grape arbor. It was so big and so lush. And got quite a lot of beans from that.
Do you can?
No, I don't can. You don't can. I do freeze some, but I don't do as much as I did when I had a bigger family.
Less mouths to feed now.
Yeah, right. But you know what's most fun for me is getting it ready, planting it, harvesting it is more of a chore. By that time, you're sort of have other things to do.
So you like the labor part of the preparation more than the eating?
I like to get things growing. I like to see things coming up. And I like to see a neat and orderly garden. And then I like to eat it too. But, you know, sometimes it becomes overwhelming because some vegetables you have to pick when they are ready to be picked, not when you're ready to pick them. Your life's not your own when you have your garden. I also have bees back there. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
2 hives of bees. And that's been sort of a fun project. I'm not the beekeeper, really. Garrett is the beekeeper. And he harvests them. But I help as much as I can.
How long have you and Garrett been beekeeping?
3 or 4 years. And we've had problems with this colony collapse disorder.
Oh, yes.
And last winter I lost both hives. So I have 2 new hives, so I'm crossing my fingers, hoping that they manage to make it through this winter.
Have they... I don't know if there's a direct correlation. I don't know much about beekeeping, but does that make your garden better because you have bees so close?
Well, that's part of my rationale, that if you have the bees, it's going to pollinate your garden and your blueberries a little bit better.
Do you do any other berries besides blueberries?
I've tried strawberries, but to me that is really labor-intensive because... You really have to have 3 different beds. The first year you plant, the second year you start harvesting. In the third year, you might harvest still, but by the fourth year, you need to start over again. So it's not like blueberries that they're there and there's. I've got some blueberry plants that I planted back in 1964.
Wow.
They're still there. Not doing as well, but it's not like you have to remove them and start over again every third or fourth year.
Mm-hmm. I know that blackberries grow kind of in brambles and can be kind of a pest in certain areas of the country. Is that the same here? Is that why you don't choose to grow those?
Well, usually blackberries, if you're lucky, you can find them growing wild someplace, and then you don't have to go through picking them, or, you know, keeping them. There's this, blackberries tend to be really, really have a lot of needles, you know, mm-hmm. prickers. They're apt to be much more. I'm trying to grow raspberries. I much prefer to grow raspberries than blackberries. Although I like eating blackberries.
Do you have blackberries up on the property here?
Well, you know, since the last commercial thinning, I noticed that there are berry bushes beginning to grow. I have yet to see a berry on any of them, so I can't really tell you that I'm going to have a bumper crop of blackberries.
Well, the deer like the blackberries, too. Do you have deer on your property?
Now that's a silly question.
I guess in Cooperstown there are a lot of deer in Cooperstown.
Yeah, right. You probably see them more in Cooperstown than you do in the woods. They're much more wily. Tomorrow is the beginning of hunting season.
Mm. You allow hunting up here? You mentioned something about it earlier, but
there's a couple of families I allow to hunt. Mm-hmm. I don't encourage anybody and everybody.
Mm-hmm. Do you hunt?
I do have a hunting license.
Mm-hmm.
I have hunted.
In the past?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. In the past when you've hunted, do you do all the butchering and stuff, or do you send it off? And
no, we would send it off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does someone take care of that? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We are pretty much, I think, almost out of time. I've been watching it. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
You haven't mentioned the fact that I'm very active in church.
Yeah, you know what? I had that written down, and you're right, I did forget. It seems that religion has been, your entire life has been a very central part of that. Can you
Definitely.
Talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear
Well,
more.
I was born in a family, not only my mother and father, but relatives have been very active in religious things.
What denomination were your parents missionaries for?
My parents were Baptists.
Okay.
And there's several kinds of Baptists, and there's a conservative Baptist Association or whatever they call it, and then there's a much more, I wouldn't say they're liberal, but they are not as fundamentally inclined as some of the conservative Baptists. And that's what they were. They were Baptists. But I am myself, at this time, Presbyterian, and I became a Presbyterian when I went to college and joined that group who met at a Presbyterian church, mostly because there was a very charismatic young minister there who was just full of life and was great with young people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way I got really started. Because your parents may be a certain denomination or religion, but you've got to make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something not like, well, it's sort of like being part of a family.